Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
And I'm Jared Freed. We are very excited to be joined by Bachelor super fans, amazing podcast, love to see it. Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, thank you for coming on with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having us.
Yeah, such an honor.
I know, this is so exciting.
Pre-tape, we found out Kay is a moon landing conspiracy theorist.
She's kind of winning me over.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I find her theories compelling.
Yeah, right. I didn't see it coming. It's, people, you know, they say it goes down in the DMs, but it really goes down in the pre-tape chatter before a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's where people get radicalized.
You really don't know your friends. So.
You don't know them until they're like, you know what? We didn't land on the moon, but let's talk about The Bachelor. And then we start taping. We're like, hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. But we're excited to have you guys here. Tell us about yourselves. Tell us about your podcast. It's not a Bachelor exclusive podcast. You guys kind of, you know, jump around the pop culture dial, right?
It's a mostly Bachelor podcast. So we started it at HuffPost, actually, around 7 years ago. It was called Here to Make Friends at the time. And during the pandemic, we both got laid off of HuffPost, and that came to a close. We relaunched as Love to See It. But during that transition, we were able to reconfigure the podcast as a year-round project. It was just during the Bachelor season when we were at HuffPost. And so we were like, now we can do all kinds of other things in the off season. Yeah. However, the off season is now like 1 month a year because there's so much Bachelor content.
Oh my God. Jared and I talk about that. We're like, our first pass. This was our first break that we've had when we ended whoever season that was. What season?
They all kind of blended.
Clayton season, right. Yes. Clayton season and started this one. We finally had like 3 months to take a break, but that was our first time in like 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah. So we had some fun and reviewed some old like classic summer rom-coms during that time. But, you know, we've been ready to get back to our core.
Give us an example. Which rom-coms?
So we did some summer lovin' classics. So we did Grease. We did Dirty Dancing. We did Summer Catch. I know one of these things is not like the other, but we had a lot of fun.
How does Grease watch today? It's been a long time since how does that, you know, it's funny, these summer, you know, these rom-coms, it's like, you know, a lot of them, especially through the test of time, they taste different in 2022 than they did how you remember them.
I will say that Summer Catch from 2001 was actually the roughest watch,
it
if you can believe
it. Summer Catch does not hold up at all. The whole movie is just one big.
Can you remind us of the premise of that movie?
Freddie Prinze Jr. trying to play baseball on Cape Cod.
Yeah, that's a real league.
Yeah.
Dating Jessica Biel, who's rich and hot, and he's less rich, but still hot.
Yeah.
The Cape Summer League is a real thing.
Yes.
It's for minor leaguers that like, it's like a real, if you're a baseball player, you go there and you're like, you're going to the majors or maybe you're just not. And they stay with people's parents, right? That's part of it.
Like, yes.
It's as if you're an exchange student, except it's Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Yeah. And much, because I'm from outside of Boston, so much is made of the Cape League and people go and it's a thing.
So you're the target demo for this movie.
Right.
Yeah. It's a crossover movie. It's for the guys who are really into the Cape League and their girlfriends who are like, but I would like some kissing in the movie.
Yes.
The result is actually not good and I don't recommend it.
What was so bad?
I know. I'm like, I need to know. I don't remember.
Most of the movie is fat jokes, honestly. Like,
really?
It's very, very offensive.
It is
throughout.
Like classic early aughts, just like overt fat phobia. It's just very.
I didn't even know that was
fun.
An early aughts thing.
It was even more mainstream than it remains to be. Somehow,
it was it was a painful watch, and also it was just this odd. It's this odd Frankenstein of various genres, but they like don't commit to any of them well. So you're like, it's trying to be a rom com and an inspiring sports film and like a family drama, and you're like, you gotta pick a lane and lean in.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that Grease and Dirty Dancing stood the test.
Yes. Grease holds up because the more you watch it, the more you're like, oh, this is camp. Like, this is like,
oh,
this
Grease
is not taking itself seriously. Yeah.
Have you seen Grease 2?
No.
Love Grease 2 also.
So good.
I really need to watch it.
But it really is camp. It's like the epitome.
Yeah, you realize that when we were kids, we probably took it more seriously, and then you do some digging and reading about like the context of the original, and you're like, oh no, this is just straight up satire written by a working class guy from Chicago, and like all that specificity is kind of stripped away. But like, I was actually, my mind was blown when I learned more about Grease upon rewatch.
Listen, people tuned into The Bachelor not expecting to get a Grease
historical,
catch.
Yeah, sorry guys. Sorry, you thought we were gonna like gossip, but I'm just gonna give you a history lesson.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist and Cheirosa 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Now let's hear about what you guys think of The Bachelorette this season. What are our feelings? How do we feel about, let's start with the franchise in general. What's our mindset considering having 2 years of no breaks and then coming back into it?
I needed a break. I will say that. Yeah. I feel somewhat re-energized entering this new season. I feel like I was really just like scraping the barrel of my attention span
bruised,
by the end of Clayton's.
Beaten and battered by just all
like,
of
I can't, this. I can't do it anymore. But this season, I'm like, I'm here. I like Rachel and Gabby a lot. So I am here for the season. I'm feeling a little bit re-energized, despite the fact that, as always, this franchise manages to disappoint us in new ways every time.
I have to say, I was very excited for this season coming in because Emma and I have watched other reality shows with multiple women dating a group of guys together. We're watching season 2 of F-Boy Island right now, which does that exact same thing. We know it can work. And we were like, they know that they can't pit the women against each other this time. They're going to try harder. We watched the premiere. Everything's going so great. And then 2 episodes later, they have already found a way to like create drama centered around like which of these women is more desirable to more of the men. And it just doesn't have to be that way. I'm getting frustrated.
Right. And that's what my whole issue is with this is that, I mean, I love the drama. This is great for TV. Like, period. This is great for TV besides anything else. But it's these two women, this was the whole premise of Clayton's season. And when it got down right. to the last few of them, that these two women were fighting for this one dude. And so they're like, you know what? Let's just bring them back and see what happens, but with like more guys this time.
Right. We already did this with them.
It so, like, won't work.
It doesn't feel good to see them go through it again.
But again, good for TV.
Yeah. It. I mean, I guess it's good for TV.
What would you change about it for them having two women as the lead? What's the changes you guys would have made?
I think that there are, like I mentioned, there are other shows doing this that I think you can do some comparison with. I think on F-Boy Island, for example, the women, like Gabby and Rachel, really want to support each other, and they aren't put in weird positions by the show. So like when production right. sets up a rose ceremony, for example, in which you are supposed to offer your rose to your entire group of men, and then if he says no to it, your rose is taken away. Like, that's just unnecessarily... That's the show choosing to like make it seem like this humiliating thing that a guy prefers to pursue Gabby rather than Rachel. That's built in sort of structurally to create a dramatic moment, but it's painful for the women. And so they didn't have to make it play out that way. And so I do think that they could have allowed the women to sort of naturally sort into groups without starting with them both trying to date one big group and then making this abrupt split the way that they did it. I have to be suspicious also of the fact that all these guys sat down with Gabby during what we know is a very producer-controlled thing, who gets one-on-one time during group dates. All these guys got time to sit down with Gabby and explain why they didn't want to date her.
That was wild.
Right. That was just so obviously produced.
Did that really just happen naturally? I'm suspicious.
But then, I mean, what was strange about it was, you know, when we came out of that group date, I'm like, oh, every guy here is here for Rachel.
Rachel.
And then you come into the rose ceremony, which, you know, Kay and I talked about this a little bit on our last episode, just... That rose ceremony was the most interesting part of the whole show. It should have been half the episode. Like, and now you have all these guys turning down Rachel. So it was like, I felt a little bit more so lost because I had this pre-existing notion that Gabby was the second fiddle. And then you get this whole scene of Rachel looking like the second fiddle.
Well, I feel like this is what they're trying to do. They're like, this is equality if we just make one of them feel like shit and then make the other one feel like shit. Everyone's gonna love it. And you're like, it didn't even have to be the setup. Like, frankly, the best drama that we've seen has been when the two women come together to like tell off some dude, like the Chris stuff. That was also great TV.
Yeah, I don't know. That to me was like, you know, Chris was an asshole. So like that was easy. And, you know, like Chris was an asshole just generally. Like what he did wasn't that crazy to be like, I don't know what I would do with the fantasy suites. It's like, yeah, that's a date on the calendar.
No,
of the
show it was his
for
delivery.
Him to bring it up.
It was his delivery.
It's the delivery.
You know, but I don't know. I guess the Fuckboy Island, I'm not really familiar with the show as
much. I'm not either.
But the... Don't the guys have to choose whether they are a fuckboy or not a fuckboy?
Yeah, so it basically gamifies right reasons, right? Like, Elan Gale is behind it. And so I do think that that helps the women become a united front because they have this secondary task of, like, sorting out who's who. About halfway through the season, well, it's revealed. So
I just think, I think it's, you know... I don't know. I think the issues you have with The Bachelorette is because the men are saying, I'm a fuckboy in the other show. And it's like, that's not how it works. To me, it's more realistic what's happening on The Bachelorette right now, as sad as that is. Like, it's very realistic as far as, like, modern dating. Like, the idea that you swipe right on someone and they're like, hey, we'll swipe right, but nah, I'm not sure who I'm really going with, and I want to go with the other person that I'm also seeing. Like,
You should watch F-Boy Island, because I actually think that the way that that dating takes place ends up feeling more natural and lived in.
But there's this, what, like, guy announces themselves as a fuckboy out of the gate?
Well, they don't announce it out of the gate. It's revealed later. So the task for the women is sort of to figure out who the F-boys are.
All that really means is, like, are, if you're an F-boy, you can take a bunch of money for yourself at the end. So it's really just sorting out who came to the show open to actually finding a relationship and who came to the show with the overt purpose of manipulation for clout and money. So, like, it's, that is the real categorization.
Interesting.
Okay. I don't know. It just feels like this is a messier version because life is ambiguous, you know, like, and, you know, they're not really spelling it out. I'm not saying, you know, one, I don't know the other one, so I can't say one is better than the other, but I'm saying more that, like, I watch this and I go, yeah, I don't see them pitted against each other, but I get why that could be a takeaway. Like, I understand that too, but they seem to be handling it well.
I agree.
It doesn't seem to be realistic to me. Maybe I've been out of the dating scene too long. If I'm out there with my friend, you know, flirting with guys at a bar, it would seem more unusual to me for guys to directly feel the need to come up to one of us and be like, yeah, no, you suck. Like, I'm going to go for your friend instead. That sorting just sort of happens, and it doesn't have to become this source of, like, high intensity direct rejection. And I think that's what feels sort of artificial to me about the way that The Bachelorette does it. Maybe that's the only way the show knows how to have two leads, but then maybe they should have thought of that before they promised everyone a season where these women would remain best friends and wing women throughout, because they're really putting them through the ringer here.
And they are handling it well. Like, I'll say that Gabby and Rachel are, like, they're putting in the work.
Yeah, I'd be throwing hands.
I think they're very self-aware and they don't.
I would not be great with this. I would be the worst, like, wing one, woman.
Right. I mean, minute one, Jesse Palmer basically is like, we'll see what happens. Like, they didn't have any structure whatsoever.
I am obsessed with Jesse Palmer coming in here being like, yes, I am hired literally by this show. Do I know what the fuck is going on? Absolutely not. I just show up and I say, who knows? I'm here.
It feels like a business that's been around making money for, like, 50 years. And, like, the third generation of kids come into the office once a week and don't really do anything. Yeah, this is
succession,
like,
immediately.
Like, the writers have just, they're checked out, because it's like, you had, like, to me, it's a petri dish. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, no guy goes up to a woman and says, I'm not into you. But that is the petri dish with which they are placed into. The variables have been changed. You have two women. You're in a show where you're looking to get married. Like, and these women in the beginning of last episode even said they have to make a move or they're sketch. Okay, so they said, they go, it's sketch if they don't tell us who they're into. Then they get told who they're into and they go, well, I don't like the way that sounded. And you go, yeah, Hayden said it like a piece of shit, but you've gotten rid of a piece of shit. Like, good. But then Rachel keeps the piece of shit.
Rachel didn't have many options, to be fair.
Yeah. Jared and I talked about it on the last episode that this is essentially exactly what the girls wanted. They wanted to know who was in it for them and who was in it for somebody else so they could get down to it. But now that they know, they're like, ouch, that kind of hurt. You know what I mean? It's like, but this is good. This is a step forward.
Right. That's what the taking away the rose thing is the part that really threw me. It's like, okay, it doesn't maybe hurt that much to get your rose rejected, but then to have the show almost, it seems like the show is like slapping her on the wrist. They're like, bad Rachel, a man didn't want you. Your rose is gone now.
It didn't make sense. You're right.
Okay, so I thought about this, and at first, like at the very, after Jared and I recorded, you know, you're going back through and it feels like the roses and the amount of guys didn't add up. Like, they're like, okay, so they're taking all these roses away from Rachel, but they still have,
but they end up with the same number,
with the same amount of guys. Mm-hmm. And so there's an account called Bachelor Data,
which
my God, they're like unbelievable.
Susanna's so this great. Girl, she's great.
This girl essentially will take all this data from everything. She's like monitoring their follower accounts, like putting them in bar graphs and this and that. And it's really interesting. The Lord's work, because I was sitting there thinking, there's a whole like comment section on our most recent Instagram post on The Bachelor, and it's, they're going back and forth. They're like, this doesn't add up. Like, how are there so many roses taken away from Rachel, but they still have the same amount of men? But Bachelor data goes through all of it. And if they have the same amount, then we should be fine. It's just, I get it. It's the humiliation of being rejected. And at this point, Rachel's being rejected in front of everyone. Gabby was doing it one by one.
I almost wanted like a key in the top corner of the screen that like had little
tallies.
Yeah, tallies. Just because I was ultimately just confused.
I think if they're gonna make it this like constructed and produced, which clearly they did, they knew this was going to happen, and they like arranged the rose numbers, accordingly. I feel like they could just like be cheekier with the graphics and like lean into it. And sort of lighten it by like letting us in instead of, yeah, what you're saying, Jared, which is like create this thing that they're like telling us it makes sense, but we all know it doesn't really make sense.
It's disorienting. It's like you're being played like in a shell game or like three card Monty or something. You're just like, things are moving and I've lost track of how many roses there are. And whoops, they have the same number at the end. I feel played.
Now I have a question for everybody. I'm curious, does this whole structure, do you find yourself rooting for one girl more than the other? Because in my head, it feels like a Team Gabby, Team Rachel, which obviously, again, we don't want to do the whole like pinning against each other, but I can't help but feel that way.
So who are
a little
you rooting
bit watching
for?
And having,
for?
You know what I mean? So I personally, I don't know either of them like in real life, but on the show, I am leaning more towards Gabby. I still love like Rachel, like there's no, but I don't know why. I can't tell you why, but I'm like, I think I like Gabby better. I get more excited. I think because she's a little rougher on the edges. Love that, which was such a crazy conversation. But do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's naturally like in the back of our minds, we've kind of picked a side. This could be a controversial opinion, but I'm just curious.
You're the one pitting women against each other.
I know, it's me.
What do you guys think? Do you guys have a favorite? Do you have a favorite storyline? Like, I agree, Kay. I think Gabby's story is more interesting.
The storyline is very compelling.
I think Gabby is a type that we've seen less of on the show. And so in that way, and also she's just older and like I'm in my 30s. So maybe that's part of why I'm particularly compelled by her. But on the other hand, there are moments in which I found myself like really relating to Rachel. And I don't know. I'm like such a sucker. I'm just like, I want them both to be happy. I want them
both
to
make it fun. I get it.
Make it through this. And like, they're both unscathed. That is my greatest desire.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm like rooting for one over the other per se. Gabby is definitely always, I'm thrilled to see her on camera because she's a comedian. Like, I'm like, she's going to do something
she's,
funny.
Yes.
She's going to do something unexpected. She has a way with words. And I love that. It's almost like they did the same thing with these two bachelorettes that they did with Caitlin and Tayshia as hosts. Is they were like, well, it's hard for a woman to have all the qualities that we're looking for in a host. We can have one who's funny and hot and another who is hot and polished. And together, they can do as much as one man. Like, I really genuinely feel like they're like, we found the two pieces. I think that either of them would have been wonderful as Bachelorette alone, but I just want them both to like come out of this unscathed.
Yeah. And I honestly, I'm enjoying the little like interstitial girl talks that they get to have. I think that is the advantage of having two leads. And it also means we don't have to have as many weird produced segments where Jessie is like, hello, my dear friend, girl, let me give you relationship advice. Like, they can just chat among themselves.
Yeah, I loved them talking at the beginning of the episode this week. It was kind of a foreshadow for what was coming at the end. I totally agree about, like, they do feel like two heads making up one bachelorette. Claire, I totally agree with that. It does. The Tayshia Caitlin comparison is totally correct. Do you guys have a favorite guy on the season? Is there someone that's jumped out to you?
Definitely Nate. I really like Nate.
Love Nate. Love Eric.
I enjoy Eric.
Love Eric.
How yeah, much of like it is Eric. Just that That's I like his mullet?
I like him. I don't. He might disappoint me. There's always a high chance that anyone I like at the beginning. But I'm into Nate and Eric. I'm trying to think who.
Even
else.
On that date with Gabby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he.
Oh,
gave
I
nothing.
Thought he was. I. He,
see.
Nothing.
I watched him on that date. I was like, this guy is not into this at all.
Yeah, he's just like,
he dodged
all
that
right.
kiss.
Oh, whatever. Wow. I didn't get I that at all.
He's
I
like, actually, that's tough drama. Let me, but I'm here.
That yeah, and... my mom doesn't love me. Cool.
That seems you know, like, weird. What?
I thought
like,
that
I
was weirdly edited.
I don't
buy
believe
the way.
That he just sat there that silently.
It felt
was I mean, he didn't give her much.
Weird.
I mean, it was very bizarre. And I watched that and I was like, this guy is keeping, he's socially distancing with his mind right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Like I mean, we didn't even see him a lot at the beginning of the date either. Like when it was the Grandpa John and they're on the bowling date, you didn't really see a lot from Eric. You're not seeing him interact with Grandpa John. You're not seeing, like, yeah. I was like, yeah. there was more of the grandpa than there was of Eric.
Maybe what I am secretly looking for Gabby is for someone who will just fade back and let her and
let
Grandpa
her be the
John
star.
Kind of take center stage. Dance. And I'm like, Eric really gave me a lot of time to just pay attention to Gabby and Grandpa John. And I felt really good about that. Okay. Is that what Gabby wants? I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, okay. So as far as the Bachelor franchise, what would you guys do if the Love to See It podcast could change the franchise? What would you do? What would be your wish if you could wish to the, you know, the ABC gods and have three wishes to change the show? What are the three things you would do to the show?
Oh my God, I have so many wishes. One, which I think we've talked about before, I want there to be a point where they are able to stalk their remaining men on social media. I want that to happen.
Stalk
I think.
The remaining men.
Yeah, like they get to
so
a
like
certain a, point.
Like that would be a game that there's. So instead of now before hometowns, maybe the final eight.
Yeah.
It's a social media stalk.
Or like a Google,
friends.
Like a nice solid Google
I love
search.
That.
Just like,
yeah.
I feel, you know, inject some modern dating.
That's a fun episode.
They need to team up with the actual fans of Bachelor Nation and have like a sit down yeah. with like five girls from Bachelor Nation who like right. did the work and they're like, all right, they pull
yeah,
out
they're
the
like,
packet.
I am a Reddit moderator. I have done the deep dive.
Because if you guys haven't noticed, their Instagrams are clear when everything is announced. They have like eight posts and
yeah.
it's like
and
them
like,
and their dog.
I've never posted on Instagram in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If the guy right. has fewer than eight posts, you got to be like, wow, he had a really problematic Instagram.
They had
history.
To, they had to right. go through.
There's nothing left.
What fraternity formal did he attend?
Yeah.
Oh, just wondering.
Oh no. Yeah.
Claire, what about you? What would you change?
I mean, that's a good one. I think that we often talk about casting on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, and something that is happening right now that I think I want to shout out is the Roses for Everybody campaign, which was started in part by our friend Jenna Descartes Pod, which is basically just encouraging the show.
Yeah,
to
they're mad at me.
More diversely. Yeah,
what did
well,
you do?
They seem upset with me for having an opinion at all. They're coming after the wrong guy. You should tell your friend that was really, you know, kind of shitty.
I missed it.
Yeah, we don't pay attention. I don't know.
Oh,
but
no. Your friend, you don't pay attention at
we
all.
Don't, we don't pay attention no, to the Interpod drums.
Yeah, we don't,
well, I don't know.
Deal with the Interpod fights.
No, I, someone with body issues myself, as someone who talks openly about their own body issues, I gave some notes and they didn't, and now I'm the villain that's against body diversity. I'm for it. I think there should be age diversity. I think there should be body diversity. I'm all for it. All for the campaign. I say, but then they said, why do they have to say it's a fat bachelor? I'm like, well, I don't want to be called fat.
Yeah,
that
you
word
don't
wanna... That word hurts my feelings. So that takes me out of your campaign.
Well, maybe that's something to unpack. I don't know. I've definitely in my like learning about the body diversity and, you know, fat acceptance movement, like there is like a move to kind of destigmatize the word fat and make it like more of a neutral descriptor. I understand why people have a visceral reaction to it. Like that makes sense.
If your goal is body diversity, and which is my goal, I want as big a team as possible to back up my goal.
But I think that is ultimately what they're asking for. They are not saying, there's not like a one clear definition of only one body they want to see. Like, I think the point is, if you kind of say we are including the most marginalized bodies, then that is going to ultimately be good for everyone. And I think we can all agree that like this show has such a fucking narrow vision of what is attractive. And like for a very long time, that also included like extreme whiteness. And so I think in the same way that it's taken years for fans to really put pressure on the show to make that change, I think that we're just starting to see that really take off in terms of body diversity as well. Like there is such an extreme vision of thinness for both men and women, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this season, there's zero body diversity, and that's been the case for many seasons. And I think that is the change I would make.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to step in a hornet's nest.
I mean, I'm trying to step into drama. We're trying to just kidding.
I mean, I'm willing to have a nuanced conversation when people pull one sentence out of what you said in an hour-long podcast and make you the villain, because honestly, there's no villains. There's nobody that's like,
yeah.
It's very rare you're going to find someone that's like, I don't want body diversity on The Bachelor.
I think you will find a lot of people who will say that, actually.
Well, I'm saying, but they're not out there on a podcast, or maybe they think it, but I'm saying I'm there having a conversation going, I'm for this, but if someone said, Jared, you should be the Fat Bachelor, I'd be like, no, fuck that. I'd be like, I don't want to be the Fat Bachelor. I want to be the curvy, husky, you know, chubby bachelor. That would even feel better.
Well,
but I'm saying,
that's totally your decision. But what about someone who does identify as fat? Shouldn't there be a movement for them to be able to be the bachelor?
That's okay. But I'm saying if your goal is ultimately big change, you got to hit the bullseye. You know, like, I mean, to destigmatize a word, I mean, that is a year's process that takes effort.
And that's why you just start. That's why you just start. And I think that there is room for like conversation about branding and what's going to be the most effective. But I understand why they used the word in the campaign. And, you know, I try to take my lead from.
But right now we're having a conversation about it as someone, again, I'm in this group. 50 pounds heavier, 50 pounds lighter than I am right now. So I can have this conversation. And when someone says to me that I'm now the villain, you know, you get like, I don't know, it's a little weird considering and to like, I don't know. So and then I can't answer it because I am villain. You know, when you say right now we're having a good conversation about it, in my belief, like I understand what you're saying, like using the word, it helps change things. It helps for someone out there. I believe that person exists out there. I'm someone who's like, I would love body diversity on The Bachelor. People say to me, I'm sure all of you, if you're single, when you were single, someone says you should go on. Anytime you're a fan of the show, someone says you should go on. And then I always say I'm too fat to go on the show.
No one ever said that to me, by the way.
I guess there was just
something that they saw I would not fit in.
They were like, you have a face for podcasting.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I always say I'm too fat because I've met these people, as you guys have too. I mean, these guys, the men on this show right now, they are 6'5 and above elm trees.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
It's the same for women. It's a very, very narrow. Mm-hmm. And I think like regardless of whatever terminology you want to use, the goal should be there and we should be having these conversations, right? Like,
but that's the same point I'm making.
Like, let's just widen the range of what this show has a lot of impact in terms of who as a culture we consider to be like objects of desire. So I think that, you know,
we're ultimately influenced.
Yeah, this campaign is just about creating a greater vision of what that can be. And I think we can all get behind that.
I want a 40-year-old
I would love to see older women on the show. Like 40 is not even old. Maybe I'm just saying that because I'm 35. But I personally love seeing people in their 30s on the show. And I think seeing people in their 40s would be awesome.
One day they're going to do that senior bachelor season they keep telling us about.
One day, we're going to get it.
My request for like what I would change is much different. What I want on, what I want on the show is I want Big Brother style 24-hour camera access. I want there to be a live feed of what's going on at all times.
Like a YouTube live at all hours of the
day. Ooh, the way I would hit subscribe, we'd have endless shit to talk about.
Oh no, it would be so bad for my life though, because I would
my mental health would plummet.
Yeah, I'd be like, I have to just, I'll be sitting right here all day just watching the live feed of these men like making 35 eggs in the crowded kitchen.
You know how much of the year they're filming these shows now? We would be spending a solid 2/3 of the year doing nothing but watching clock video from the Bachelor Mansion.
But what if they changed it to being in real time? Like, and so like a Big Brother. So instead of having, you know, them film and then it airs later, what if we're filming in real time and like every episode is live? And you gotta and you have to watch it live. And then so once after the rose ceremony's over, you can see what they go and talk about, who's doing what, and so it I feel like this could be
Okay, that would definitely change things.
So it'd still be one episode a week, but you could watch what's happening during the entire week.
I love it. And Love Island is kind of that way in the UK. I mean, like, you go there and it's like a whole station is dedicated to it. And they're like, oh my God, did they create this for me?
Yeah, they have like five episodes a week. Like, you have to.
But I don't understand.
And I've never been able to keep up with
this. It's too much content.
I need an arc. I'm with you guys. I need like beginning, middle, end, put a bow on it. Next crew of idiots come in. Yeah.
I need some limitations on my own time also.
Yeah.
Give me more chaos.
Like an inspired idea. I love the idea of hearing like the exhausted gossip post rose ceremony.
6 a.m. They're all trying to get to bed. You know, the girls can't find their makeup wipes. The guys are like, you know, farting in bed, like sleep farting, like that.
More farts.
Like the puppy cam, but for 26-year-old fitness
trainers. You
want to
make this show real? Let's see it.
I love that.
Well, as you guys say, we love to see it. thank you guys for coming on, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray. This was fantastic, and we want everyone to get subscribed to Love to See It podcast. Go check it out. At Claire and Emma Pod on Instagram. Go follow. Go get involved with what they're doing. It's a fantastic show. And we're so pumped you guys came on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, thank you. This was super fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Anytime. We love to talk about The Bachelor. We love to spread out our week with different episodes. So this is great.
And get a state of the union, so to speak.
Yeah. You know? And talk about the moon landing and whether it...
That's right.
Yeah, we'll talk I've been about radicalized this later. Into a conspiracy theorist, and for that, I thank you, Kay.
This will be another bonus episode of The Bachelor podcast.
Where I bonus moon landing conspiracy episode coming soon.
Yeah, we'll do a whole one. Okay, great. Well, make sure you guys are obviously following Claire and Emma Pod. They use hashtag love to see it. You can follow The Bachelor on Instagram at The Bachelor. You can follow us on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. And you can follow me at K York City.
And I'm at Jared Free.
Betches.